Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome back to Chip Chat. We're coming to you live from San Francisco at the Intel Developer Forum. My name is Allison Klein, and I am delighted to be joined by Kurt Obley at Intel. Welcome, Kurt.
Well, thanks, Allison. Outstanding to be here today.
So, Kurt, we last talked at the OpenStack Summit. We started talking about some trends in the data center, and I thought it would be great to catch up with you at IDF to get your viewpoint on the top five data center trends that you're seeing at IDF this week.
A few months ago, up in Vancouver, seems like a few years ago because so much technology has changed in such a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we just start and just say, you know, can you limit it to five? That's the real challenge. Which would be your first point of emphasis to focus on?
I might have a broad definition of what five means. I think the biggest areas for data center is when you look at the new technologies that are emerging, there is a fundamental shift and the new capabilities coming out, both economically and from a performance perspective. It's not an incremental improvement that we're now going to be seeing over the next 18 months. It's a monumental impact for a business if they take advantage of this new technologies and get ahead of that trend. Without a doubt, they can create a competitive differentiator for them in their respective markets.
So let's start where we start with the processor. Tell me a little bit about what's coming from Intel in this space, because there's a lot.
What we're seeing is maybe 80% of the workloads, maybe 90% of the workloads, really benefit for the next generation of Xeon that's coming out. And that helps the business go forward. But now what you're seeing as you walk through the show floor from Cloudera and others, there's big data architectures that are specifically targeted for high-performance big data applications. And when you look at the faster DDR4s available now, when you look at the 3D Crosspoint announcement that came out earlier this summer, and then the products that BK announced today, the ability to do in-memory analytics, getting a Xeon E7 V3 with the new 3D Crosspoint technologies, suddenly real-time impact from your analytics is amazing. But then you walk a little farther and you start looking at the next generation Xeon Phi and Omnipath technologies. Oh my gosh, the HPC capabilities and visualization, amazing. And then you go around the corner, and when there's a small portion of workloads that people really, really understand their workloads, they know their algorithms, they can see taking a Xeon with an FPGA connected with extreme high performance connectivity for coherent memory, and suddenly they can take their algorithm and get 2x, 5x, 10x plus the performance impact from everything from search to image processing to other. And when you combine them, huge business impact.
You pointed out a couple of things. Xeon Phi providing great things for parallel workloads, FPGAs for things where people really understand their code and they absolutely understand how they can optimize for their code. What do you think this means from a standpoint of end customers? And where do you think the various customer segments will start applying these technologies?
So this really falls into the full Xeon family. So it's not just FPGA, it's FPGA integrated with Xeon. And when you go up one level, you're seeing a common code base to make it really easy for the developer to develop high impact applications. Where I see this being applied today is both in private enterprise clouds for enterprise customers, and then the different types of cloud providers that are out there today. Because what all of these systems are doing is creating an amazing amount of telemetry that we can now do analytics on. And we're seeing some of the new technologies here today in compression to bring that up in an efficient fashion. We're tying that in the software-defined infrastructure orchestration tier so that you can place that workload seamlessly on the right architecture for the right impact.
Now, dynamic resource pools also brings in topics like the transformation of the network and storage. And we've got a lot going on there. So why don't you tell me about that?
Well, apparently, if you want great performance, you don't want to have great bottlenecks. In fact, you want a balanced system with great performance end-to-end and security that goes with it. So if you look at the performance, we were talking about the workloads running on the CPUs, you have to feed those CPUs. So if you now look at the networking capabilities, just around the corner, we're showing 400 gig of throughput on Xeon D, targeted for network function virtualization and software-defined networking. So that gives you the agility to get to the data that you need, get off of those proprietary platforms, And now we're seeing that performance bottleneck being removed in the network. The next question, of course, is storage. And at the storage tier is software-defined storage on standard high-volume servers, where we're connecting new virtualized PCIe connectivity to our latest SSDs, and that is just feeding almost a seamless connectivity to get that right balanced system so you can make that business impact.
And where does Intel Rackscale architecture fit into that vision?
I'd love to say that every time you walk in, you work with a customer, you ask them, hey, what's your workload? And they go, oh, I know exactly what my workload is. It works like this, and I characterize it like this, and here are all the parameters. The reality is a business needs to be agile. Rackscale architecture provides that interoperability and standards-based ability. So instead of going with traditional rack and stack sleds or pizza boxes, now it's a tray of compute, it's a tray of storage, it's a tray of networking. Perhaps in the future we'll see a tray of security. And what that enables is you can provision and compose a server very quickly to the spec you know about today, plug that into a software-defined infrastructure so you create your cloud. And a few weeks later, when that workload changes, now what you can do is you can recompose those servers in the right balance so you very efficiently use your resources so you get the maximum performance and the maximum utilization, which kind of gives that price performance that everybody likes to try to find.
What is the interplay between all of those orchestrators and the underlying resource pools, and why is Intel engaged with the ecosystem so deeply here?
When an orchestration technology wants to decide where to put a workload, it has to understand the characteristics of both the workload as well as the resources that you're going to put the workload on.
Mm-hmm.
So by optimizing the performance of those workloads with the underlying hypervisors, containers, even bare metal, we can share the telemetry up to those orchestrators so now they can make intelligent decisions for intelligent dynamic allocation. You're now enabling the orchestration engines to be much more intelligent. That's happening today, and where I think that's going to be going in the future is bringing in more machine learning to take advantage of that telemetry so you can learn and predictively place things before any issues ever reside, so you guarantee a certain service level agreement with that end customer.
When we look at all of this great infrastructure delivery, it opens up the opportunity to start delivering new types of workloads to the data center. And one that rises up to the surface a lot is new approaches to analytics. What has Intel been doing in that space? And anything new at IDF that you might want to focus on?
Earlier this year, we had the Xeon E7 V3 launch, designed specifically for crunching analytics and for large memory. Shortly thereafter, we announced 3D XPoint. Now today at IDF, we announced new products in memory. Where we're trending to is the ability to economically put all of your key database and technologies into memory in a level that's never been seen before. When you tie that in with telemetry and then orchestration, you can then start moving your workloads to the right resource pools so that you maximize those resources and you get the highest impact and performance. So we're starting to see a closed loop system, because as you're starting to deliver those analytical results, and if you're seeing a deviation from what you need, that's feedback that then comes in the form of telemetry. The orchestration tier, which is now intelligent, and can dynamically allocate resources through RSA, so you're always ensuring a great customer experience.
My final topic is one that's very close to your heart, security.
All technologies are close to my heart.
Tell me a little bit about what Intel's doing with security here.
Well, we're seeing a lot of advances in just a very short period of time. The cloud integrity technology is expanding very quickly. It is now protecting the firmware itself. So when a server boots with IA, it's booting from a trusted firmware image, providing another level of insurance that you had a good supply chain. It's booting either in bare metal operating system mode or hypervisor, ensuring that's up and running. Then virtual machines and containers now, which is new. The ability to then do that as well as geolocate, ensuring those workloads are running on trusted compute resources in the geolocation around the world that you want. If you look at that with the addition of the new Kernel Guard technology, which has now been open source, it provides another layer of integrity while the systems are running. And if the systems need to be recovered to ensure you're resilient, that's where it ties back into SDI. If you look at the theme throughout this entire discussion, it's no longer about only one or two technologies or one or two ingredients. By themselves, they're all wonderful. But if you look at them end to end, we're starting to create an even more amazing ecosystem.
When you look at our enterprise customers, our providers, what are the things that can transform not just the technology, but the way differentiation is defined in the market?
You know, at Intel, we always want a rich ecosystem. And if you look at everything we're doing, everything is open, standards-based, so that the whole ecosystem has the ability, from an enterprise to a cloud provider, if they want to tailor or customize anything, they completely have that ability with multiple partners to do that. They now have the ability to have trust in their cloud providers, as well as bring the automation home so they can be as cost competitive as a cloud provider. So when they want to bring a workload and keep it in their enterprise, perhaps to lower some risk, maybe for a specific performance workload or cost, they can do that now. But if they wanted to burst out to a cloud provider, they can do that with full confidence and find that right mix of having their workloads running anywhere they need it to be in a very high confident way so they can manage risk and ensure performance.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's been a pleasure as always. We hope to have you back soon.
So nice to be here today, and I do appreciate the invitation, and I'll take you up on that follow-up. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your IDF.
Cheers.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.